This Wednesday, the 15th of May, 74. Channel 1 right, and beginning of this hectic visit with Cookie and Jack Long, this Wednesday, the 15th of May, 74. Channel 1 right, and beginning of this hectic visit with Cookie and Jack Long, this Wednesday, the 15th of May, 74.
Can't tell one from the other. Brady got some of this non-dairy from the other day. Liquid stuff made out of soybeans and the Lord knows what else.
I don't like it.
I don't either. And she didn't realize that it was non-dairy stuff when she got it.
Non-dairy?
Yeah, it's there's no milk or cream or anything in it. It's soybeans and preservatives and I don't know what else.
Well, let me tell you, over in China in the army, I went in some of those Chinese restaurants and they were starting out on those health foods, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And they started with soybeans. They started with those soybeans, and you put a little, you can dark them up, you see, and they make them taste like anything.
Yeah, well, we had a hamburger for lunch today at a little drive-in place, and I bet you 50 cents that was half soybeans.
Well, more likely.
Mm-hmm.
Half soybeans.
Stretchers.
Half soybeans and the rest. Horse meat.
Huh?
Half soybean and the rest horse meat.
Yeah. Cookie, what's going on over at your house in your addition to the house? You haven't had much help in that, have you?
No, I ain't had no, not, I ain't doing nothing now. I can't stay off the road long enough to do anything.
Well, let me tell you, why don't you, first time you get a day or two off, I'll go over there and help you. I don't love to work myself. I don't make much headway.
I don't either. I ain't working myself.
I'd rather have somebody along, you see, and and it goes a whole lot faster.
Well, one thing, money's been my problem. I've been to so much expense.
Oh, you have.
And,
you have
it that. I have paid out some kind of money. Nobody really realizes the money that I put out. Nobody.
Well, it's a phenomenal amount of money that you that goes through your hands.
I got in home Monday. At 12:30. And believe it or not, but from 12:30 Monday until this afternoon, I spent $120.
That's just a drop in the bucket, ain't it?
That's right, $120.
It don't go anywhere.
That doesn't buy you groceries for that moment.
Well, now, and now you're not buying groceries.
No, just odds and ends. I got to pay out insurance and the children. They got that money for this and money for that.
And they don't take a dollar anymore.
No, it's $5 and $10.
Yeah.
Used to be 10 cents. Now then it's $10.
Yeah.
When I was going to school, it was, a dime looked like $1 million to us.
Yeah, you didn't even have a dime. You did an old turnip out of your garden.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember mowing big old lawns with those mowers that you had to push.
That's right.
I'd mow all day for 50 cents. Figured I was getting big money.
Big money?
Yeah.
I worked in the log woods. Cutting timber. With a cross-cut saw. The best money I ever made in my life. 80 cents a day. 80 cents a day.
How'd you live when you were doing that? Could you live out in a camp? Or
lived in the camp. That's right.
Yeah.
But back in 44 and 45, you could buy something for a dollar then.
Yes, you could. Yeah.
$4.80 a week.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled a cross-cut saw in Somersville, West Virginia. It sure did, me and my buddy.
Well, now that's a part of it I hadn't heard about. How'd you get rigged up for that?
Well, I just needed work. Needed something to do. Needed some money.
Yeah.
Didn't need much, but what little you get was hard to get.
Yeah. And they had this sawmill going out there.
Had a sawmill going, had a camp built out back of the sawmill. All it cost us was our groceries. Everything else was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us 80 cents a night. 80 cents a day.
Well, that was low even for that time, wasn't it?
It was. But back then, the heck, Paul, you go out here and buy 1,000 foot of lumber for $40.
Good lumber.
Good lumber. And now you're going to pay $500 a 1,000 foot oak lumber. Dressed and ready to put on.
That much?
2 summers ago, when I was putting this addition on a place up in the mountains, I'd go in and buy 2x4s, and you know when they'd charge me 75 cents for a 2x4. 8 foot.
That's right, and that was cedar too, wasn't it?
No, it was white pine.
White pine? Well, okay. You get white oak lumber now. Dressed and tongue and groove for flooring. What are you going to pay $1,000 for it? You're going to be lucky if you find it for $500 a thousand.
Yeah.
And back then, you could buy oak lumber dressed for $40 a thousand.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe.
My dad had a saw set there and front of his house, and he has sold him many 1,000 foot of lumber for $25.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Cookie, what that amounted to was that he didn't get anything for the lumber. He just got a low rate for his labor.
That's right.
I'm telling you that I remember old Tick Evans, where I used to live up there. He'd buy these cross ties, you know. I forget the money, but them fellas would work up there, you see, a week or two, and bring in a half dozen cross ties, and they'd hardly get paid for the labor.
About 80 cents a piece.
Yeah.
You said my 9 cross tie bring you about 80 cents.
Yeah.
Well, hardwood's so scarce up there now.
That's
you
right.
You can't find much hardwood anywhere.
Well, this old buddy of mine up in Nebo, North Carolina, is cutting me some hardwood. I'm going to swing back through there in about a month and pick it up.
Is that where you picked up the last?
That's right. It's about dry enough now for me to start to work on.
Yeah.
I had him cutting some yellow pine for framing on my addition on my house.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's cut right, it's cut, it's called on the money. A 2x4 is a 2x4. It ain't no 2.5 by 4 and 5/8.
Yeah.
It's a 2x4.
Yeah.
It's rough, but it's a 2x4.
Yeah. You come over here.
Howdy, the gentleman. Howdy. Good to see you.
Well, I
couldn't believe it. This gentleman. Hi, John. Y'all don't pay any attention to me. I'm gonna get a few things started because somebody's gonna be.
Yeah, somebody.
Somebody's gotta do something around here.
Well,
no,
Cookie, this fuel thing let up just in time, didn't it? So you about to get out of business?
Yeah, I was on the verge of just closing down completely because I couldn't buy enough fuel to. I mean, to do local work around here, let alone long distance.
Yeah.
But I went down to the station just, this afternoon, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and bought 63 gallons.
And they didn't blink about an eye.
They didn't back up, 63 gallons. But it cost me 54 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Diesel. Oh, yeah. Diesel's 46, somewhere there, 45, 46.
And,
Now, are you back in with old Jack Stokes?
No, sir. I'm out there for me. I'm doing my own contracting. I'm doing my own driving. I got my own outfit. And I set my own price.
Well, Jack, what would he do? He'd load you up.
Yeah, but he'd get his cut too, see? Well, I got part of that cut.
Oh, he got part of what you got.
Yeah. He'd quote a man a price, and then he'd tell me something else, see?
So he'd handle the money and pay you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Probably take a good rake off before he pay.
He'd take about 20%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, see, I'm out there on my own now. I tell a man I'd get $350 for taking a load of horses to New Holland, Pennsylvania.
And you've got no pay, and nobody.
I don't have to pay nobody.
Pay nobody.
I do the collecting, and that's it. And it cost me about it cost me about $200 to make a round trip.
So it's not all clover?
It's not all clover. No, my brother. Well, it's like I say, I feel good. I enjoy it. I'm out there by myself. I don't have to listen to nobody's lip. I can tell them all and go straight up.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack don't know what it's like in that cab. You see, he got a little. What on you? Tell him what you got in there. You got your bluegrass music.
That's right.
Yeah, you got a stereo.
That's right. I got my two-way radio. I can
Citizen Band radio.
I can spot the cops on up the road yonder.
How you do that?
Well, they're on a different frequency from me. But if I got my radio on, and they got that radar set up there, it'll come in on my CB.
Oh, it will?
Yeah, it causes static on my CB, see? Well, I know to slow down and get in the right category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just keep on trucking.
And if they're up there, they're more than likely, you'll more than likely get that signal.
That's right. I will get that signal because it'll come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't be up there without the, what's called?
Well, even if they are up there without it, maybe I'm doing 5-10 mile an hour above speed limit. If it's not on, why don't come on my radio, see? If it's on, if they got it on, it'll come on my radio.
Yeah. And they can't tell unless it's on?
No. They can't tell I'm going. No, it's hard to tell.
Yes.
You get a whole son of them hard heads, and they try to give you a hard time, but most of the time you can just about rule them out.
Now, when they pick you up now, they don't ask you for five or for pocket change.
No.
What's the least that you can get off with?
About $50.
Yeah. Now, do you have to go in to do that? To the station?
In some cases, yeah. But I haven't. Well, they haven't caught me on it down the lake, and it cost me $500 then.
Yeah, but that's different.
That's different. Well, now see me, if they'd catch me, well, I wouldn't go in. I'd just give them my AAA card and say, look, cop, that's good for $5,000.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
So they take that. I mean, they'd see that, and then you could send it to them.
Yeah, and then they'd send my card back to me.
Oh, they just hold that card.
Yeah. That card is worth $5,000 and arrest bond.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you need that card.
Yeah,
that's what they know.
I mean, you'd need it on the rest of the trip.
No, I got another one.
How you get that?
Well, that's just one of them gimmicks.
Well, how you do it?
You got to lose one, guy.
Oh, is that right?
And replace it.
You've got to lose one.
I see. I see. And it costs you a dollar to replace it.
It don't cost you nothing.
I see.
No, sir. It don't cost you nothing to replace it. All you got to do is call AAA and they give you enough.
So you can afford to put post bond.
I can post bond. I can post $5,000 for you to fix.
Yeah. Cookie, let me tell you something. You know when you first started out here?
Yeah.
It was in March of 69.
I know it was early in spring, but I don't know what year.
Well, it's 69. And because Barbara came.
This one ain't good.
I got another one at the house. But that's worth $5,000.
You see, his daughter Barbara,
yeah,
came that fall.
That's right.
And by the time she got here, you were just walking in here, and she was sitting down there and talking in the tape about horses in England.
Right.
And you sitting here, and the first report that you ever made on tape here. And you sitting over here where you couldn't quite, it didn't come in clear, but it's clear enough, was them, the trouble that Alvin was having over there.
Right.
With him shooting them those cows.
Right.
And that's the first report you ever made here.
Well, he had some problems.
Oh, he did.
I remember Cookie talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you heard Barbara's tape. That's on it. Well, you see, you were in on everything we did out here. It was just like today. You see, Jack and Brady got here just a little while before you did.
Yeah.
And the way it used to be, if anything was going on up out here,
I was in the middle of it.
You, all the children was in right in the middle of it. Now that's the way it worked, you see, up through 1972.
That's when I got.
Yeah.
That's when I took them headaches.
Yeah.
I was out there. I was still out there then, out there working in that hay right out there. The headaches are bad, I couldn't sit on that tractor.
Yeah. You don't have closed door, baby. We're just sitting in here drinking a little coffee. Well, now let me tell you. You know, so much has gone on out here. You don't have to slam the damn door, just leave it open.
She's in a hurry, guy.
Well, everything has to be warm. It doesn't have to be cooked, just warm.
Just leave it open, babe. And now, you see, I have been trying to report on some of the things that we've done out here. And I've got several people in it, but I don't have you in at all. So you see, it's not quite, it's not balanced.
Why?
So you've been the chief one out here, you see. That first time you came out here, Fagan just laid off by the moves you made. You come out here, you see, Molly was limping.
Yeah.
And she can tell you everything you did. And as soon as you got your little Barlow knife out and made one little two whittles there, Molly put her foot down. And she didn't feel any pain at all. And you remember what she did?
She went right out there and she jumped up. I mean, she jumped straight up in the air on, all four of them. Off the ground.
Yeah. Faye never will forget that.
She didn't walk 20 foot out in that field there till she raised up all four of them off of the ground, and her and that little Tony horse of mine run. They run right there. I'm telling you, it was something. I thought we were going to have to catch him in time up. He's going to overdo himself.
Well, now you see, there's a lot of little incidents like that somebody's got to sort of put together.
Well, now that's what happened.
Because, let me tell you, cause things have happened out here that haven't happened anywhere else. Now, you know that.
That's right.
And we've had all this ups and downs out here. We've had, you see... I think the dullest time was last year when I was working these flatheads over, and I was also breaking.
Excuse me, boy. I got to go run the windows up on the car. It looks like it's going to rain.
Yeah, well, you don't want to stop it. No, that was the dullest time that last year. When really nothing was going on.
Yeah.
We were just...
Well, I see, I wasn't in no physical condition to do nothing. I was out.
I don't think it was you so much as it was us. You see, we just wasn't any fun, any life to us, you see.
Well, you run down. You had to work with them flatheads and they had you brainwashed.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Show up again?
He came back and left again.
He ain't all with us, Cookie.
He got all with nobody. He's too dang sorry for his own self. Anybody do her like he's done.
Anybody do Laura like that? Because she don't ask for it.
No, she's peaceful. She's just as kind and toward him as anything you ever saw.
Yeah.
He's too sorry. I think this is going to end it.
I tell you what, once they start on that dope, it's hard on them. It's hard on them.
Yeah. That's why I've got to bring that other trailer in over here and get away from that place for a while.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I've got about four or five more loads of horses to go to Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's
four or five more weeks.
Yeah.
Then I'll be, if my equipment holds up, then I'm going to lease it out.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to be big wheel for just a little bit. I'm going to lease my equipment out, my truck and trailer. I got a truck that will handle it now. Of course. It's a later model. It's a 68 model. 68 Ford.
That's what solid okay.
Three quarters
yeah.
pound.
Oh, yeah. Now say that again, please.
68 Ford, three quarter ton.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to get rid of that one ton on account of ICC.
Oh, is that what the trouble is?
That's
the
right.
front one, Jack, is the bigger one to the left, the middle one.
I was.
You have to blow it a little. That's got it.
Had to get down on a lighter class. See, that one ton weighed too much. See, it weighed over 5,000 pounds.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Well, the one I got now weighs 4,250. That puts me completely under ICC regulations. ICC don't have nothing to do with me no more.
Is that right?
That's right. They can't touch me no way, shape, form, or fashion. Because neither my trailer nor my truck will go over 5,000 pounds.
And that's where they start?
That's where they start. They get over 5,000 pounds where they start.
Yeah.
And if you got a gas tank that don't, that's not bent, they're not pressure tested, they really tear you up.
Yeah.
And you ain't got lights where they belong, why they start again. You ain't got emergency equipment, they start again. And they keep adding up, and the first thing you know, you got a $500 fine, and you got to pay it now.
Yeah.
And they don't back up.
Yeah.
The way it is, I'm legal on any man's road except in Tennessee, and I have to give them $10 for a fuel permit.
Yeah.
And they let me alone now.
Yeah.
And I'll buy a fuel permit when I get back up there, if I ever get back up there. Just to keep them off my back. I'll give them $10 just to keep them off my back.
Yeah. Well, Cookie, why didn't you start out this way? You just had to work into it.
I just had, you take a baby, they got to crawl before they can walk.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way with me. I had to start down there and start crawling. Then I got to like a walk, and then I got my feet slapped out from under me. I had to start all over again twice.
Yeah. You got your feet slapped out on you as many times as anybody I ever saw who had as much experience as you have.
Well, it was my health that caused it.
Well, I think it... Well, it wasn't your health and this ICC thing.
No. But,
did you take all those papers out of here with that?
Yes, and they're out there in the, right out yonder in the thing.
I got, in 1972, I was getting along real good down here. We was getting before we could make some money.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
yeah.
I got those severe headaches, and I wasn't worth a damn with a hole in it.
Yeah.
For me, myself, or nobody else. Well, I got that taken care of, and then we got started back again, and this happened.
Yeah.
I'm coming back. I ain't gonna lay down.
Well, that truck you had. That good truck you had, I thought that was just ideal, but that weighed too much. That put you up in the ICC class.
That's right.
And when you cut on your truck, you had to cut on your trailer too.
No, my trailer's the same.
Same one.
It's the same one. I can haul as much weight. I've just got a bigger engine and so forth in this little truck than I had in the big truck. It cost me more to operate, but I can operate.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. I was getting 12 and 13 miles a gallon on that big truck, and I'm getting 10 and 11 on this Ford. Of course, I got that big 390 V8 engine.
Yeah.
Them hills up through there on them, they don't pay them no mind.
Yeah. How many horses did you take with you?
I took 12 one trip.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take 10 tonight.
Yeah.
I got two of my own on this trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
What in the world's going on out there?
You're gonna get blown away.
Yeah, well,
growing a little, but it doesn't look like rain right away.
It doesn't.
There's some black clouds, but
just
they're not solid.
Yeah. Well, now you rebuilt something. Did you rebuild something?
Yeah.
What'd you rebuild?
That pickup sitting right out there. That's the one Frank wrecked and tore all two pieces.
When?
The first day of this July will be 2 years ago. I got out of the hospital on the 28th day of June.
You mean that's that same one?
That's that same one right out there.
Well, where has it been all this time?
I've had it.
Oh, you had it, you just didn't do anything with it?
Oh, yes, I pulled my big trailer with it for a long time. When I first got that trailer, I pulled the trailer with that truck right out there.
Yeah, well, what'd you do with it then?
I bought that big truck, and then I just parked it and used it around the house.
Oh, I see. But you had that all the time.
Yeah.
You had both of them then.
I had both of them.
And now you let the big one go?
I let the big one go and got a 3/4-ton Ford. 68 model. And I bought a 65 Chevrolet today. 3/4-ton.
So take your Chevrolet, use that to pull your trailer?
I use it to pull another one with.
Oh.
Which one is that?
And one I'm going to get.
You're getting things faster than I can keep track of them.
Oh, I see you. That's one you're going to lease?
No, it's the one I'm going to build. I'm going to build me another trailer.
Then lease the one you have and build you another one, and lease that one.
I'm going to lease the one I got, my truck and trailer. I'm going to build me another trailer.
You going to keep it in your name?
No. I ain't got nothing in my name. I'm going to pick up out here. I don't want nothing in my name.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't want nothing in my name.
You think you can get some money out of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I get my money.
Oh, you going to have the loads. You gonna arrange the loads and let somebody else drive them?
That's right. I'm gonna stay here and buy horses.
I see. You gonna be Jack?
I'm gonna play Jack Stokes just a little bit.
You gonna play Jack Stokes a little bit?
That's right. It took me a long time to get up this far. I've worked hard.
It don't come easy, does it?
No, it don't.
Well, that's my trouble. Everything I do comes so hard and so slow.
Well, that's the way it's made.
By the time it gets here, I ain't able to use it much.
Like I told you, when a baby starts out, they got to crawl,
yeah.
Then they walk. Then the first thing you know, they're running.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still crawling.
Get in the car!
I'm still crawling.
Get in the car!
I haven't started walking yet.
Yeah.
But I will walk.
Well, now that's more like it, cookie. It sure is.
But like I say, there ain't nothing that I enjoy doing more than getting out here, get on the road. I take a slow 50 mile an hour pace, 55, and I can drive from here to Westchester, Pennsylvania, quicker than Carl Brown can start to save his life. He gets out there and he runs 65, 70, and 80 miles an hour. Then when he gets in town, why, the cops is after him. The first thing you know, he's done stopped. And he's done messed up and lost 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'm done 200 mile on up the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We notice that driving down, we just go 60.
Yeah.
55's the limit. But nobody can stand going just the limit, so... Well, you've got to show you're independent somehow or another, so we go 60.
Yeah.
Besides, 60 is a good rate. You can tell how far you've gone, you know, in the length of time.
That's right. Well,
But we stay right on 60, and I swear we made better time coming down here than we've ever made.
Yeah. Just like me now, I get a load of horses on. I haven't hurt one yet, and all my stopping and starting. I haven't turned but one load over, and it wasn't my fault then. I'll never pull another trailer like that.
Is that when your door come open?
Yeah. And 50, 55 miles an hour, you were within the speed limit. Now, going down these long grades, I'll take my foot off the gas and let it go. And when I get just about to the bottom, I'm doing about 60, 62 miles an hour. I'll give it the gas, and I'll go right on over that hill.
Yeah, yeah. You've got enough momentum.
That's right.
It helps you climb.
You can just keep right on going. It saves gas, time, wear and tear on your truck.
And when you get up to the brow of that hill, you are letting up a little bit, aren't you?
That's right. You begin to let up. You may cut back to 38 to 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But then don't take it just a little bit, and you're back up to 50, 52 miles an hour. And if you drive that all day long, it'll surprise you how far you can go in the run of the day.
Yeah.
And then you're not wore out. You're not beat to death.
The wear and tear on the nerves is the issue.
And,
now, let me tell you, because you see, we played it, you know, you got to use your judgment, you got to have a hunch. All these fellas that we worked along with weren't worth the trouble. I'll tell you, this fella that took all them pictures, what's his name?
Leonard Butch.
Old Leonard Butch. Now, he's a nice fella.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was irresponsible. He wouldn't do a thing he said he'd do. And he never did work out.
No.
All right, you take that fella with the long hair and the pigtail. Who used to give you the creeps over there. He'd come over there on Sunday when you was over at the trailer, and you'd come over here pulling your hair.
Now, who was that rascal man?
Spivey.
Spivey, Mark Spivey.
Yes. Well, you see, he come out here and he got what he wanted, and we never hear from him anymore.
That's right.
He got what we wanted. He got what he wanted, but we didn't get anything.
He go there. I'm telling you, that boy would go over my trailer. I'd be sitting over there, relaxed, just take it easy. I'm telling you, he'd walk in the door and the bottom would fall out.
Yeah.
There ain't no question about it.
That Herman's boy?
Yeah. He was screwball here for several years, you know, and he come out here and we got him straight.
Yeah, we was getting him straightened up, but I'm telling you, he was about to rack both of our brains.
I don't understand it. I run into some of those every once in a while.
Me and Guy worked with him. Well, Faye had a big part in it.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with him and just about had him on a straight road.
And then he leaves.
He left.
Mm-hmm.
He don't even say hello. Don't even send us a postcard. Now that's,
well,
you see...
He didn't realize you'd done anything.
The hell he didn't. He said so.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes. He knows what happened out here.
Well, now there's,
We had a whole lot of lost effort.
Jim and Suzanne.
Yeah. Now, what are they doing? They out there in Texas, never even got a postcard from them. And they were nice. All of them were nice people.
Yeah.
First rate people. So, somehow, we got a hold of the... we got a hold of the wrong element there somehow or other.
And, now, I think that's what works over here for Ed. What's his name?
Yeah. Ricky.
Ricky. I guess he is, about the most appreciative of the whole bunch.
Yeah.
Really and truly, I do. I think he appreciates the opportunity and the effort that we put forth here more than anybody else.
But he ain't any good.
No, not now.
Now, I don't know what's the best place to try to eat.
We will fix you up, Dave.
You might look, because it's going to storm out there, I think.
Get under the sheet. Get under the grill.
Yeah.
In the barn. It don't make no difference.
In the barn. Yeah. In the shed. Well, sir, this would be my day to stay in town.
Well.
But anyway, we got things about on the road now.
I got a load of horses just not go to Pencil, Kentucky, Pennsylvania.
Channel 1 right around 600 or 800, and the end of this hectic visit with Cookie and Jack Long this Wednesday, the 15th of May, 74. Channel 1 right, and beginning the end of this around 600 or 800, and the end of this hectic visit with Cookie and Jack Long this Wednesday, the 15th of May, 74. Channel 1 right, around 600 or 800, and the end of this hectic visit with Cookie and Jack Long this Wednesday, the 15th of May, 74.
Okay, let me take the pills. Okay, I'm going to take the pills. Who doesn't? Everybody takes pills for one reason or another. Well, you didn't raise sheep in New York, did you?
Yeah.
Raise a lot of sheep in that part?
Well, different sections have quite a lot of sheep in there, but well, in where we were there, there was 15 or 20 herds of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have too many. We only had 15. But a neighbor right there, close to us there, they had, I don't know, 300 or 400.
Do they grow them for the meat or for the wool?
Huh?
Do they grow them for the meat or for the wool?
Wool.
Wool.
Price
has gone up right much on that, hasn't it?
Yeah, I guess the price of wool is pretty good right now. An ordinary sheep, you know, is sure about 7 to 8 pounds of wool.
I didn't know that.
We had some of them Lincolnshires, them old big ones up there. Some of them would have 15 pounds of wool on them.
Gee.
That big Lincolnshires, you know, the white legs and the white face.
No, I don't know about them this season. They, I've never dealt with them.
I had a neighbor, after I got rid of my sheep, a neighbor just above me there, oh, he had 15 or 20 sheep, and he bought this big Lincolnshire buck. Geez, he stand up about that high.
Is that right?
And he was a big one. And I was going up one morning, we changed drawing milk. And I had my milk on, and was going up and stop and get his. this house is up above the road, and there's kind of a grade up there, see, and Jay was just, he was quite a big, fleshy man. Coming along down, he had a pad of parings where he peeled the potatoes. Coming along down, and I see that buck come around the back of that house, you know. And I hollered to Jay to look out for the buck. Well, he didn't hear what I said, and he stopped, and he said, "What?" And just as he stopped, that old buck hit him, you know. Well, my God, you ought to see them parents fly. They come down all around me there just like snowflakes.
Gee, well.
I had one of them bucks hit me one time. There was another fellow and I was measuring a building to see about putting some roofing on it. And I was on one end of a 50-foot tape, and he was on, this other fellow was on the other end. Jesus, that old buck hit me, and he just carried me right down through to that other fellow, you know, right on his head. And then he dropped me off and tried to stomp me, see? This other fellow picked up a piece of 2x4 and laid there. All right, I'll hit him over the head. Well, you know, the old buck, he'd shake his head and back up and come again, you know. And the fellow just sidestep him and hit him again.
See?
Well, every time he'd go back, he'd go a little bit farther, see? Well, when he got back far enough, the fellow jumped over the fence, but he had a brand new linen tape. And you know, that doggone buck chewed that all up. Yeah, he chewed that all up, so then I had to buy the fellow a new tape.
Gee whiz, I didn't know a sheep or a buck would do anything like that.
Oh boy, they'll buck you to beat all.
Goodness.
Miss Eastman?
Oh boy.
Get up there.
Wait a minute.
Up there and get that. That's all for you.
You trying to get me cockeyed?
No, I just got some good orange juice.
Everybody needs a little something. Ms. Eastman, we had, I tell you, one of the most profitable things we ever had was sheep. They didn't take any pains. And we would buy them, we'd just buy them for the grazing season. They'd ship them in there from Texas.
Yeah?
Yeah. And, we'd buy, what we'd buy to use, I guess, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And we used to have, it seemed to me like, Mr. Eastman, we used to have anywhere from 90 to 100. Is that too many?
No, that's about right, pal.
That's about right. Now, that was just a part-time thing, you see.
Yeah.
And they, on that basis, it didn't take much time. Now, I wasn't there much. We did that for a long time, but I wasn't there much.
You just sell them in the fall, huh?
Yeah.
Buy them in the spring, sell them in the fall.
Yeah. Sell them in the fall.
They was already sheared when you got them.
I guess. I can't resist it. But now, if they got a disease in them, we had to let them go, and then we never picked it up again. Well, there was the price of mutton went down, you see,
yeah.
And that's when we let them go. And I don't you know what do you get from sheep? Sheep chops. Sheep.
Leg of lamb, and
what do you do out there on the stove? You. Broil. What do you broil?
Oh, lamb chops.
Lamb chops, Miss Eastman. That's you can't beat that, can you?
Them are good. Well, you take a leg of lamb if it's cooked right. That's good too.
Yeah. Well, we never cook as much leg of lamb, but we have had lamb chops, and you know there's not much meat on them.
No.
But what there is, you see, has got taste to it. And I don't know. I'm sorry. We got to raise something else. Soybeans come in pretty soon.
Yeah.
It looked like we put in, then we turned to soybeans and corn and soybeans.
Well, they were starting to raise a lot of soybeans up in New York there when I quit farming.
Yeah. Oh, that far back? Yeah. Well, I guess it has been that long.
They was going to do a big thing with soybeans. They was going to make automobile bodies out of them there, but I guess that never materialized.
They turned to petroleum products, isn't it?
Yeah.
Make everything out of petroleum.
Huh?
Make everything out of petroleum.
Yeah.
Now that's something I didn't know.
All the plastic.
Oh, that's something. So high prices on petroleum make it hard on the plastic people, wouldn't it? Everything out of joint.
Yeah, back the ways, remember Henry Ford was trying to develop a car body made out of peanuts.
Oh.
Or the soybeans that Mr.
And
Eastman
soybeans,
was.
Yeah. They never got very far with it.
What happened to that little book, Mr. Eastman?
I got it out in the truck.
Well, let me see. Let me get that. There's some people in there. I want to get it. Partly, you see, so he'd have to talk across this.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had some experience with those sheep. I used to fool with them, you see, but I'd just be helping the others. And I don't. We share them. Is this the only one you got?
Yeah.
Or gee whiz. Well, what if you was to lose this? You'd be out. Now let's see. You. He told you about the. Let me find him. I forget his name. Oh, there's the. What is that woman doing? What was she doing in the Senate, Mr. Eastman?
Well, she was elected by the people just the same as you elect them down here.
Well, we don't have anybody that looks like that. See, look at that.
Yeah,
see?
Looks like Kate Smith, don't
she? Yeah. Yeah.
Substantial.
Well, now, was she in here because she helped y'all, or?
Yeah, she was backing us up.
Was she? Congratulations, she says, farm friends. From your senator, Rhoda Fox Graves.
Rhoda Fox Graves.
St. Lawrence and Franklin counties, two counties. Yeah. She, you know, she looks right dignified there, but she, I imagine she's right young then.
Yeah.
Looks like she was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did she perform? Did you ever hear from her after that, after this? Do from?
Gal, I don't know whether I did or not.
Sam S C H O
Shaw.
Shaw. Now they caught him in his work clothes, didn't they?
Yeah.
He looked like he was ready to go to work. Now let me see. These fellas in Clinton County, were they close to you?
No, the Clinton County crew up in the northeast corner of the state.
Yeah. So you wouldn't run into those fellas, Mike?
Yes, I knew them all.
These fellas?
Yeah. I traveled the state all over.
Well, now, he's the county chairman.
Yeah, the county is up there in Clinton County.
But he didn't get out and rough it like you did.
Not so much.
He stayed in the office. I expect there was a good, all them fellas you, a lot of them fellas were just office people.
Well, he was a county chairman up there, the same as I was county chairman in Madison County.
Yeah.
But they didn't get around and have as much, didn't take as much real activity in the union as I did.
Yeah. Would that be partly on account of him?
Huh?
It'd be partly on account of the county chairman.
Well, yeah, they'd call and want somebody to put on some meetings and one thing or another.
Yeah. There's a lot of advertisers here,
yeah,
aren't there? Delaware County.
Yeah.
Now that did all the counties have that many in the committee?
No, not all of them.
How many did you have?
Well, we only had five.
Five on the committee.
Yeah.
Well, was your committee a pretty good committee?
Yeah, they worked pretty good with me.
Well, now, all these fellas here are general organization committee.
Yeah.
Was that the state committee?
That's the state.
Now, you didn't run into them much.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I was in with them.
This fellow's face looks familiar. Did we
Frank Brill.
Did we talk about him?
Yeah, well, he lived right about 10, 12 miles from me.
Well, what were we saying about him? I can't remember.
I don't know necessarily. Guess what?
I'm telling you, this fella, you know, the way he read back there, it makes him look important.
Yeah. Jefferson County, that's another one way up in the northeast corner.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find where we were talking the other night. Lewis County. Lewis County, there's the one, that's the one you saw. Did you see that, Brady?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Now, that was 1930.
That's the way I looked when I had all of my hair.
Right. Well, you and Jack can compare notes about that when you had all your hair.
At 1937.
Yeah. And no steel helmet either.
Yeah. Now what about this woman there, Mr.
She was that Frank Brill's daughter. They had a big farm, a big Holstein farm.
Oh.
had a lot of Holstein, purebred Holstein cattle. They call it the Monifran farm.
Well, were the Holsteins the principal ones?
The what?
The Holsteins, were they the principal cows?
They give more milk than any of the rest of them.
Yeah. And, now, let me see. Now, Pesco, Emory Pesco, now, he not in your county?
Yeah.
Oh, the Hamilton's the name of the place,
yeah.
Now, he's the other one that Mr. Eastman was talking about, that fella down there.
He was a Polish fellow, and he was about as tough as they make 'em. He's kind of a well-built fellow with a broad shoulders and a short neck. And he used to get, you see, there at Hamilton, it's Colgate University, and he used to get down there to Colgate and wrestle with the professional wrestlers down there. I used to put on a lot of dances, barn dances, and one thing and another. And we had a dance every week. Well, we saw this one dance, and I had a square set on there, and I was dancing on this set here, and he was dancing on a set over here. They called for swing your partners, and geez, he come over there, and he grabbed a hold of me, and he swung me right around, and my feet were going right around the electric light bulbs up there. And I couldn't get him down. You know, he just swing. Why, if he'd ever let go of me, I'd have went 20, 30 feet off in a heap.
Well, you can tell by looking at him, that neck there, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah.
You can tell. He built up in there. Yeah.
What's that reference to the steel helmet
there? Yeah.
What does that mean?
Huh?
No steel helmet.
Yeah, no steel helmet. His head was pretty hard.
Didn't need any.
he goes, you all knocked around a whole lot together, didn't you?
Yeah. That milk strike up there, I went through four different milk strikes. This one milk strike, we were trying to close this one village had three different plants in it. The Dairyman's League plant, we thought we had it closed up, but there was a big load of milk come in there. And I never could find out where the rotten eggs come from. But there was probably 100 rotten eggs thrown. And you know, they hit all over that truck, and the driver there, there was one hit him on the hat. He had on one of them straw, stiff-rimmed hats, you know.
Yeah.
One hit him here, and he jumped up like that, and just as he jumped up, one hit him right here. Geez, and that rotten egg, you know, running all down of him. Well, they went into the plant over there, and they come out, and they washed the cans off, and they steamed them, and they washed them again, and steamed them two or three times, and they finally thought they got the smell off it, so it wouldn't affect the milk, because, you know, milk will take any odor there quicker than scat. And they run the milk in. Well, after they got the milk in, you see, there was a shipping the milk out in them days in them 40-quart cans. The milk train would stop, you know, and they'd roll them right along in there, see. And well, they milk train come, and I see this fella here and another guy go down the railroad track, and they had a piece of new rope, probably 12, 14 feet long, maybe a little bit longer than that. I wondered what in the heck they was going to do with that rope. Well, by golly, you know, when that train pulled out, they boarded it. They went right up on top. They tied that rope to the catwalk and went right down over the edge and opened up the doors on the side. And when they got down to the next station there, the milk was running right out the door. Them fellas went in there, and they just dumped that milk and let it run.
Yeah. Now, you had so much milk, you had a regular milk train.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one night, there was four of them milk tankers.
come through the village of Madison. That is about 6 or 8 miles from where I lived. And they stopped them. The pickets happened to see them, and they run them off the road and stopped them. Well, they claimed that they had skim milk. Well, one truck, I guess, did have skim milk, but the other three was whole milk, see, that they were trying to run through from some other county, running through my county. Well, they stopped it there, and they called me, and the time I got over there, they'd pulled the spigots off in the back of it and let the milk run. Gee, and they run right down the road, run down into a fellow's cellar, went right in a cellar window, you know, and run in his cellar. And my brother was a fire chief there in the village of Madison, and they got him out of bed to get the fire truck down there to pump the milk out of the cellar.
That's a mess.
Well, what was he doing, Mr. Eastman? Is that all he did, just the fire business?
Fireman?
Yeah.
No, he was, he worked in the garage, driving a tow truck. That's about all he done was, somebody'd have an accident and he'd go and tow it into the garage.
Yeah.
Jesus, and they kept him busy, too.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, he was busy about all the while, running that tow truck.
Well, I didn't know they had that many accidents back then.
Oh, Jesus, yes. Of course, sometimes, you know, there'd be somebody that lived in Madison there, and they'd be off somewhere and get smashed up, and then they'd call in. Maybe he'd have to go 100 miles and get them and bring them back.
It'd pay them just to abandon it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tried to preach nonviolence to them, but you know, you get a bunch of them fellas out in the picket line, you can't tell what they're going to do. It's just the same way right down here now with these railroad strikes. There's always a few that's looking for something like that to get in to do damage somewhere.
Yeah. And when they're looking for it, they pretty much can find it.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes they can. I know the county next to where I was, there was a Polish fellow there that had a big farm, and he was the county chairman there. But he was pretty radical, you know, and Jesus, when anything would come up, why, I'd get a telephone call from the state office, go over there and calm Teddy down. Sometimes I'd have a job on my hands, try to get him tamed down a little bit, you know. You take them Polish fellas, boy, when they get it going, they're uglier than blazes.
Yeah.
Quite a temper, huh?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And you had a pretty good settlement of them.
Yeah.
I wonder how they got in there.
Well, there was quite a few come in around my locality there. You see, they made the Munnsville plows and the farm machinery there. They had a big foundry.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of them Polish people come in there as molders.
Oh, I see. They could take that heat.
Working in the ironworks, so, you know. Well, then the old people working the ironworks, and the young lads there, when they got up, well, they'd want to get on a farm somewhere, see? And that's the way they got it going.
Now, is that right? The young ones wouldn't care about the foundry.
They didn't like it. Getting burnt to the hot iron too much, and one thing or another.
Yeah. So they'd try to get out on the farm. Yeah. Well, now, how did your brother fit in there? How did he get lined up on that truck business?
Well, he was always in the garage there, you know, and I don't know how he did come to get in on the fire chief business. He was a fire chief there for years and years.
Oh, was he? Well, they had to work too when they had a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a chief. He kept it going.
Yeah.
Was he mechanical like you?
Well, he looked so much like me that one time I hired out in the alfalfa mill. I was supposed to go to work on a Thursday, and he was down to the station. This alfalfa mill was right side of the railroad station. He was down at the railroad station for something on a Tuesday, and this old fellow that run the alfalfa mill said, well, come on over and go to work, he says. It might just well start today as any time. So he went over and went to work. Well, Thursday, I went down too to get my job, see. And this old German fellow, he looked, you know, and he said, my God, he said, that the two of you boys, well, he says, by God, I don't know, make the difference. He says, you come to work just the same. So we both worked there.
Was he a pretty good worker?
Huh?
Was your brother a pretty good worker?
Yeah, he was a good worker. He worked for years there for that Reynolds garage.
Yeah.
Of course, if he wasn't on the tow truck, he'd work around the garage there some too. But that was his main business, was on the tow truck.
Yeah. Well, he could make a living on that tow truck, Mr. Easton.
Yeah. He must have made some pretty good money there somewhere. God, he raised 10 kids.
Gee whiz. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Even two was all I could afford.
Yeah. Well, you could have taken one or two off his hands for him.
Well, I didn't.
You know, sometimes kids sort of help. They bring each other up and all like that.
Yeah.
It's not too common, but I've heard of it, seen it. Well, this is Madison County. Now, where is your? This is. What is this? Oh, Nida County?
Yeah.
Now, where's the man we were talking about, Jesse, what you call it? Where is he? Here is Jesse, he was on the state committee. Jesse, who was he, Jesse?
Yep.
Don't you know he died?
Huh?
He went home and died.
Oh, he's on the front. They showed him up on the front.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Paul Hicks and Jesse.
Jerry Loomis.
Jerry Loomis.
This fellow here got killed in the strike. See, there was one of them big trucks run right over him. he went out and tried to stop it, and the damn truck run right over and killed him. Paul Hicks.
Well, somebody else got rough on that at that time, didn't they?
Huh?
That truck driver got rough that time.
Yeah.
Gee, but you didn't have too many accidents like that.
This Jerry Loomis. I put on the radio broadcast on the strike from Syracuse, and he lived up to Pulaski. And I was supposed to go up to Pulaski and be the speaker up there that night. I went up, and after the meeting, I says to Jerry, I had the hot spot in the state.
the county of Madison County down there was considered the hot spot of the state in the strikes every year when they had the strike. And I said to Jerry, if I get in jail down there, will you come down and bail me out? No, sir, he says. If you don't know any more than get in jail, he says, you stay there. Well, after the meeting that night, we went over to the restaurant and had a big dinner over there before we started for home, because I was about 150 miles from home. And I hadn't only just got home. I hadn't been home in 15, 20 minutes, and the telephone rung. I answered the telephone. That was the Syracuse Herald paper. Calling, wanted to know if I knew Jerry Loomis was dead. And I said, Jesus, no. I said, a couple hours ago, I was there at the restaurant eating with him. He said, we know all about it. But he says, you know, he went home. And he told his wife that he was tired out. And he was going to lay down in a few minutes, and then he wanted her to make him a cup of coffee. Jesus, she got the coffee made and went to get him, and he was deader than this. He'd had a heart attack.
And he didn't know anything. He didn't even know his heart was bothering him.
Well, yeah, he'd had heart trouble for quite a while.
So?
But he died pretty quick.
Well, if he's going to have heart trouble, he's not supposed to get in a strike or something like that, Mr.
Yeah. Well, I guess he wasn't very active in the strike,
yeah.
But he'd been down there in my territory when we were just organizing there, and I was out signing up members, and he came down to help me.
Oh, yeah. And to be members, all they had to do was agree to pay so much.
$100.
$100.
For the milk.
For the milk. Yeah. But they weren't all eager to do that.
Well, it didn't all of them, no. Once in a while you'd strike a hard nut, you know. They was always ready to pick up any extra nickel that you could get for the milk, but they didn't want to spend a nickel to help get it. We'd call up the dealers out of New York, and they generally had a meeting in Utica in the Hamilton Hotel, and then they'd argue it out and get a little extra out of the milk.
Now, how's that?
I said that we had a meeting in the Hamilton Hotel up there in Utica.
Yeah.
And they'd argue it out with the dealers.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
See, New York City at that time had 212 dealers. And they were 12 Irishmen, and the others were all Jews. And we'd get, they'd generally be, oh, from 25 to 50 of them Jews come up from New York.
Yeah.
Some of them Jews are just as black as any niggers there is in Florida.
Well, how did they get that way, Mr.?
Huh? How did they get that way?
Yeah.
I don't know. They tell me that there's some of them Jews in the old country there that are black like that.
Yeah. They sort of cross-blooded or something?
I guess so. I don't know. They must be.
Aren't Arabs supposed to be dark?
Yeah, some of them.
Some of them.
You take them Syrians, you know, them Syrians are just as black as ink.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you were mixed up with a whole lot of them, weren't you? All sorts of them.
Too much.
Mr. Eastman, you haven't had anything like that down here in Florida since you've been here. No strikes, no such activity as that. Orange Lake is fairly quiet.
Yeah.
Nothing goes on very much. Did that club ever start up again that you were in interested in for a while?
Why, yeah, it's still running.
That sort of small way?
Yeah. I guess they put on a bingo party every Tuesday night.
Do they? But you're not a bingo man.
No, I used to play bingo when I was in the club there, but I got out of it. Like,
oh, if you ain't it, you'll play.
Huh? That ain't
you'll
it.
Play if
yeah.
you're in it.
Yeah.
The Vagabond Puppeteers.
Now they used to go around putting on shows.
Puppets?
Yeah.
Now how did they get that picture in there, let's see.
Well, I don't know. That's how the puppeteers used to turn over a little money to the to the milk strike business.
Yeah.
Well, were strikes a frequent part of your picture up there? Did you
What's
have
that?
Did you have strikes often?
Strikes often?
Yeah.
No, just well about once a year. About in August they generally had them. That's when the milk supply was about the lowest.
They're driving there. Looks like an old Buick.
Well, I guess it's an old beat up Model A, wasn't it?
Doesn't look like a Model A. It doesn't have the wheels of a Model A.
I don't know just what it was. I've forgotten just what it was.
Model A had those
wire spoke things. That wasn't a Model A. I don't know what it was. That's got a heavier wheel on it.
Yeah. Looks like maybe a Hudson.
I don't know what it was.
We had an old Hupmobile.
Yeah.
That looked something like that.
Well, that might have been a Hup. Because they had a heavy wheel on them.
Wooden wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do they do? They have milk strikes in order to get the prices up when the milk is in short supply. Is that the idea?
They generally run about a week.
They get pretty rough?
Sometimes they get kind of rough.
Those dances you used to put on, the Poles do a lot of polkas.
Did what?
The Poles do a lot of polkas, get out and stomp on the floor. And,
dance the polka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do square dancing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The square dance, they had every other one a square dance and every one a round dance.
Now I'm going to show my ignorance, but what's the difference between a square dance and a round dance?
Well, a round dance, you just have one partner and you dance together all the while seeing the music plays.
Uh-huh.
The square dance, they call it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, square dance is called.
You have to be pretty good to know how to call a square dance,
oh,
don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. And most of them, they just sing it.
Chant, sort of chant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't see that hole down there, did you, Miss Eastman?
The hole?
Yeah.
No?
I want you to see that in a minute. Before it gets dark, it's going to be dark here in a minute. And I want to put that, while you're here, if you don't mind, I'd like to put that elbow in it.
We might as well walk back and take our raincoats.
I'm going to stay here a few minutes and help Faye with the dishes.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
That was a good supper. Damn, it's
pretty good. Look at that thing down there.
Your father's position.
No, good.
I don't think you'll need these, honey. I'll put them up.
Do something about this kitchen. Okay.
amazing. And we're not taking that in my family, not at all. Except for she, even this Easter idea that he wanted to put this, the old time on tape so that he could listen to stuff.
Oh.
It's not any secret. He's, you know, except we just don't. It was his notion.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he's going to write a book.
Oh, that's right. He's
about the old time.
Yeah. Well, it was guys who worked with him before, didn't, you know, talk about strikes and things like that.
He had talked about it particularly.
I got some.
That's all I had to do is see if we bring it up. Here, a guy had his jars of water out, and he knocked one of them, and he kept looking. He could hear the water running, but he kept looking at it, and it had run all the way down his desk over there, all the way down toward the telephone, and then it was running up on the floor. And I tried to get up and get something to mop it up, and of course, he didn't want me to do that at all, because it would interrupt the train of thought. If there was one at that time.
Well, I tell you, there's nothing like it. Here we all come in, you know. And Jack said, and he didn't know it was his, he didn't know it was his. He didn't know it was his. Well,
you do put things in.
Everything.
Now, what shall I do? Because that's his plan.
I'm going to get a proper thing to put it in. We don't have to do anything.
Well, I think that's a lot.
Oh, yeah,
there's that saran wrap.
I think that's all the
saran wrap. And there's a thing of saran wrap up there. I can use it just as well as I can white paper. So I'll put the wax paper back.
Well,
that
was good
too.
The saran wrap is empty.
Well, there's another saran wrap up there, I think.
Another
saran
wrap.
Yeah. You need a wrap. Get up here and look. I'm gonna handle that back here. This chair that just had cut off. It's a ditcher. Get up there.
It sure is.
On a wheel chair.
Yeah, I can cover this ham. It's ham does lots of dust and top of it. It's never as good as it's put in the refrigerator. But that is the best pie. I don't know. Gosh.
Here's what I was hearing. Climbing around.
I just want it to be open. If they do have a chance to come back in, I doubt it.
Oh, the table you mean?
Yeah.